That's enough, isn't it? It ought to be everything. Turn to Matthew chapter 18. We're looking at some of the parables of Jesus during our year-long series of the story. We're looking at the unfolding story of God's redemption plan. And it's been a busy week and a busy weekend with all of our bluegrass and barbecue. I hope you were there and hope you enjoyed it. And thanks to everybody that made that happen. But we're looking at the parables. I look back, I preached from this parable back in 2012, so it's been 4 years. Maybe it's time every 4 years that we look at the parable of the unmerciful servant. Matthew 18 is where we find this story. I kind of jokingly say if you have a real Bible, well, then you're able to see the verses above it. I suppose you can. You can on your device as well, but you have to do more moving of the hand there to make that happen, perhaps. But the question has been raised. Jesus talks about earlier in Matthew 18 about what to do if a brother sins against you, and how you are reconciled to your brother. So he has some words to say about that. And then in verse 21 of Matthew 18, Peter came to Jesus and said, Lord, how many times shall I forgive my brother when he sins against me? There was some discussion, and in Judaism at that time, some of the rabbis had made some statements indicating that maybe three times. Some said two, some said three times would be enough to show a forgiving spirit, that you could forgive somebody three times, but anything more than three kind of indicated that maybe they weren't truly repentant. If they keep doing it, you know, you can forgive them once and you can forgive them twice, but about the third time, it's like, you know, I love you and I've forgiven you, but if you do that again, I'm just going to have to knock you out, you know. And so maybe there was a limit to that. So Peter came to Jesus to kind of see what Jesus' response would be. And so he says to him, so how many times do you say? The rabbis say two or three. How many times do you say? And so Peter says, how about up to seven times? That's more than double what the rabbis were teaching in the various schools of thought. But Jesus said to him, I tell you, not seven times, but 77 times. Some translated as 70 times seven. So it's either he said 77 times or he's saying 490 times. But the point was that forgiveness was not to be meticulously measured out, that every time you forgave somebody, you're not pulling out a little book and turning and finding the name there. Paula Taylor. That's 478, you know, and you're writing that down like, I got to warn you, you've only got about 12 more of these, buddy, and then, all right, so watch out. Jesus was not saying, 491, it's not happening, all right, that wasn't what his point was. Forgiveness is not measured out as a quantity, it's extended as part of the nature and character of Christ that's at work within us. Peter said we are partakers of His divine nature, and it is His nature then to forgive and to show mercy. So Jesus has forgiven us, and we're supposed to forgive others. Forgiveness is a big deal. Remember, Jesus said in Matthew 6, for if you forgive men when they sin against you, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive men their sins, your Father will not forgive your sins. That's a big deal. C.S. Lewis commented on this passage. He said he doesn't say that we're to forgive other people's sins provided they're not too frightful, or provided there are extenuating circumstances or anything of that sort. We're to forgive them all, however spiteful, however mean, however often they are repeated. If we don't, we shall be forgiven none of our own. Unforgiveness blocks the flow of forgiveness to us and through us. And then to dramatically drive home the point, Jesus, as he often did, told them a story, a parable. So it's found beginning in verse 23 of Matthew 18. Therefore, Jesus said, the kingdom of heaven is like a king who wanted to settle accounts with his servants. As he began the settlement, a man who owed him 10,000 talents was brought to him. It was an astronomical number. It was like 10,000 talents was the highest number in their language that they could conceive of. It was just astronomical. And since he was not able to pay, because it was so much, the master ordered that he and his wife and his children and all that he had be sold to repay the debt. And the servant fell on his knees before him. Be patient with me, he begged, and I'll pay back everything. a flawed plan, to say the least. The servant's master took pity on him, canceled the debt, and let him go. But when that servant went out, he found one of his fellow servants who owed him 100 denarii. He grabbed him and began to choke him. "Pay back what you owe me," he demanded. His fellow servant fell to his knees and begged him, "Be patient with me, and I'll pay you back." But he refused. Instead, he went off and had the man thrown into prison until he could pay the debt. When the other servants saw what had happened, they were greatly distressed and went and told their master everything that had happened. Then the master called the servant in. "You wicked servant," he said, "I canceled all that debt of yours because you begged me to. Shouldn't you have had mercy on your fellow servant just as I had on you?" In anger, his master turned him over to the jailers to be tortured until he should pay back all he owed. "This is how my heavenly Father will treat each of you unless you forgive your brother from your heart." Wow. Well, it'd be easier just to ignore all of that, wouldn't it? And just go on living the way you're living, because that's a little much. The lesson for us is pretty obvious, isn't it, in sense of a parable, and that is that God has graciously forgiven our debt, and we now have a responsibility to forgive others as God has forgiven us, and if we don't, we'll face judgment without our sins forgiven. James chapter 2, verse 12 and 13, I ran across that this week. Let me read this verse to you. "Speak and act as those who are going to be judged." That right there is alarming, isn't it? "Speak and act as those who are going to be judged, because judgment without mercy will be shown to anyone who has not been merciful." You need this afternoon, as you're nodding off on your nap, to ponder that a bit. Speak and act as those who are going to stand before judgment, who themselves are going to be judged, because judgment without mercy will be shown to anyone. You got that? Judgment without mercy will be shown to anyone who has not been merciful. Think of that before you just annihilate some public figure or political leader on social media. Because judgment without mercy will be shown to anyone who has not been merciful. I think I'm going to just start posting James 2, 13 in response to some of the things that I keep reading. Like, really? You really are posting that and you just want those people to, you know, eat worms and die? Really? That's what you want? Judgment without mercy? Well, anyway, you're not going to get it, are you? So I'm just going to move on. God help us to be merciful and quick to forgive. Notice a couple of things real quickly about the parable. First of all, notice the king wants to settle accounts with his servants. That's the way it starts out. So a king wanted to settle accounts with his servants. It's startling to realize that God, who the king in this picture represents God to us, that God is keeping an account of everything, and the day will come when God is going to reconcile the personal account of each and every human being on the planet. All right? All of a sudden, we don't think about that, but that's what's happening. This guy's living his life thinking, "I'm just spending the kingdom." I mean, the king's got a whole kingdom. He's got a lot of people. He's not paying much attention to me. And I'm embezzling, or I'm spending, or I'm going in debt, or whatever it was he was doing. And he's thinking, "Well, I'm going to blow on through this thing." And then all of a sudden, the day comes when the king says, "Yeah, come on in, because I've been auditing the books and we're going to settle things today." And that sick feeling in your stomach, like, I needed a little more warning. I was going to have to fix a few things. I've got to get some things in order. But we need to realize a day of reckoning is going to come. We think we're getting by with our sin and our compromise and nobody's going to notice. But every sin is like a debt that we owe. And sooner or later, we're going to have to settle the account. What I'm telling you is that it's best to ask Jesus to forgive you and settle the account ahead of time, all right? So that when you stand before Him, you're able to say, "You know what? I came to Jesus and I gave Him all of my sin and all of my indebtedness, and He took care of it. He paid the price and extended forgiveness to me." But if you don't do that, you'll stand before Him with absolutely no covering and no ability to pay anything back. You need to get the account settled today. Don't wait for judgment day to settle the accounts. The second thing, I don't know that if this guy even knew how indebted he was. And here's the point of that. I don't think any of us realize the magnitude of our sin. I don't think any of us can fully imagine the debt that we owe until the convicting sense of the Holy Spirit, John 16:8 says He'll convict the world concerning sin and ungodliness. When the Holy Spirit begins to tug at your heart, that feeling that you have about, you know what, I need to ask, I need to repent, I need to get this settled, I know this isn't right, I know what I'm doing is not pleasing to God, that's you getting the sense that, you know what, my debt's increasing and I'm going to have to do something about that. And the worst thing you can do is to say, oh well, I'll worry about it tomorrow, and rush on back into your sin or compromise or whatever it is. That's the Holy Spirit saying you need to deal with it today. And all of a sudden then the king says, well, let's open the books and look at it. And I think that guy says, wait, I owe how much? What? 10,000 talents? Are you serious? I had no idea it was that much. I had no idea it was that serious. I want to give him the credit that he just didn't realize, because I think that's all of us. Really? You mean my debt of sin is that high? I mean, I thought I was doing pretty good. I mean, I'm no Adolf Hitler. I thought I was doing pretty good. You mean to tell me that the level of my sin has reached the awareness and the knowledge of God? You mean that's what my debt is? And we just think, I had no idea. And Jesus uses this outrageous number in the parable. The servant owed 10,000 talents. And it's early and it's been a long weekend and math may not be your deal. But here's what the commentary, the Bible scholars say. The average guy, the other guy that he goes to choke, owed him 100 denarii. The average guy was making about 1 denarii a day. Okay. So let's say he's making $1 a day. All right. It takes. Yeah, this is where it'll bog down. All right. It took 6,000 denarii. The guy's making 1 denarii a day. It takes 6,000 denarii to make up 1 talent. All right. That's what the books say. I got no idea. I wouldn't know a denarii from a canary, but that's what they say. And so I'm making 1 denarii a day. It takes 6,000 denarii. I got to work 6,000 days. I don't even know what that is, but it's several years, I think. To earn 6,000 denarii makes 1 talent. And this guy owes 10,000 talents. So one commentary said, essentially, 10,000 talents would be about 200,000 years worth of wages. Dr. Snook is here this morning, and you can email me later and say, what were you talking about? Even with a calculator, I'm not figuring it out. He was my math teacher at ORU, a brilliant mathematician, and I'm up here trying to figure this out. I really need a nap. Okay. 200,000 years of wages. That's all right. Give or take 50,000 years, okay? Give a little leeway there. The point is, it was crazy for the servant to say to the guy, just give me a little time. That's what he said. Just give me a little time and I'll pay you back. How much time? Well, I'll give you 50,000 years. Well, what are you saying? That makes no sense at all. If he paid for the next 200,000 years, he's not going to get it paid back. He refuses to admit there's no way he could repay the debt. And here's the point that Jesus is making and that Phil's trying to make. We are in the same boat as the guy talking to the king. How crazy is it? There's no way we can pay this back. There's no way. Our sins against God and our sins against God's Word are an impossible debt that we can never repay. Now, here's the third thing. The servant needed to face the truth, and we need to face the truth today. And I can hear the servant and I can hear all of us making the same excuses. Let me explain. I just hit a bad stretch in there and I got a little behind. All right. Oh, 10,000 talents, but I got a little behind, all right? But I'm gonna make it up. I got some ideas. If you could just extend me a little loan, I got an idea. It's going to be, it's a lid opener that'll, I'm telling you, it'll revolutionize the kitchen. If you'll just help me out here, if you'll just give me a little more time, I can do this. We want to make excuses to God about our sins. C.S. Lewis said, too often we're asking God to accept our excuse rather than to forgive us. Isn't that the truth? So we're giving Him reasons why. Instead of just saying, I can't, I face the truth. I owe a debt I can never repay. I'm a sinner. I've done this. I'm as guilty as can be. Oh God, have mercy on me and forgive me. And what happens next then is shocking, because we're talking about this role, this picture that the king is like God to us, and we're expecting mercy and grace. But look what happens. The king orders that the servant, along with the servant's wife and children and everything he had, be sold to pay toward the debt. What are you going to get for a kid? You know, 13 denarii. Looks like he's a whiner. You know, and so, I mean, he's going to sell everything he has. But here's the thing, it strikes us when we read this, certainly in a modern sensibility, you can't sell human beings. It happens every day in this world, but we're thinking you can't sell. It's shocking, but the truth is, it's shocking because we need to be shocked. We need to be startled by the horrible cost of sin. This man's sin, hear what I'm telling you this morning through all the silliness here, but this man's sin, his debt was going to cost him everything. Do you hear what I'm telling you? It was going to cost him everything. That's the hard truth about sin. It'll cost you your life. It'll cost you your future. It'll cost you your family. It will cost you everything you own. That's what is happening in the story. The punishment was extreme. It's stunning. It's troubling to us. The punishment was extreme. The reason is because the debt was so extreme. It was 10,000 talents, 200,000 years of wages. This man needed to be shocked in order to realize how serious his crime was. And from our perspective looking at it, then he needs to be shocked to realize how serious his crime is, so that he could live forever with gratitude and showing mercy to others because of the enormity of God's mercy that was shown to him when the king said, I'm going to cancel the debt and let it go. It should have been transformational for this man. But imagine standing there and listening to the king as he orders that everything you hold dear be taken from you and sold. You can't protest, because you know that he's telling the truth. He's just and fair, because you are guilty and there's no excuses and no plea bargaining. And then suddenly, out of unbelievable compassion and pity, the king just says, I'm canceling your debt and letting you go. The Bible says the servant's master took pity on him, canceled the debt, and let him go. And the spiritual truth for us is even stronger and more incredible and unbelievable than that, because our King didn't just cancel our debt. He gave His only Son to take our place and pay the debt that we owed in full with His blood and with His life. That's mercy and grace. So the Apostle Paul speaks of it like this in Colossians 2. When you were dead in your sins, when you were a scoundrel, full of debt, God made you alive with Christ. He forgave us all our sins, having canceled the written code with its regulations that was against us and that stood opposed to us. He took it away, nailing it to the cross. He took the written note that had all of our sins, our debt written on it, and He tore it up. He canceled it at the cross. The account of our sins has been settled and paid in full at Calvary. And the Bible says, for it is by grace you've been saved through faith, and this not from yourselves, it's the gift of God, not by works, so that no one can boast. We can't earn or merit what the King gives to us as His servant. We can't earn or merit such grace. Our debt is too great. And His forgiveness, canceling the debt of our sins, that's His grace and mercy at work as we put our faith and our trust in Jesus as our Savior and Lord. Paul told Titus, He saved us not because of righteous things we had done, not because we could earn enough somehow and collect enough to be able to pay our debt, but He simply saved us because of His mercy. Thank God for His mercy. We were about to be sold on the auction block of sin when Jesus stepped in, took our place, and canceled our debt by paying it in full with His own life. Not because we deserved it, but because of God's great love and mercy. And listen to me this morning. God stands ready to forgive you of your sins if you'll ask Him in faith this morning. You don't have to live under the crushing load of that sin and that debt and that guilt and shame. But there is abundant mercy available to you if you'll repent of your sins and turn away from it and come to Christ in repentance and in faith. But look at our servant. Because somehow he missed the whole point. He asked for more time so he could pay the king back. We've already established that was ridiculous. The king said he'd forgiven him and that he'd canceled the debt, but it's like he couldn't hear it. He couldn't believe it. He couldn't receive God's forgiveness and mercy. He thought, like some Christians I've known, that mercy and grace was just too good to be true. And perhaps that's what led him to act as he did toward his fellow servant, because look what happens. The servant went out, found a fellow that owed him 100 denarii, 100 bucks, 100 days' work. And he began to choke him, saying, "Pay back what you owe me." It sounds unbelievable, doesn't it? I mean, he'd been forgiven so much just moments before. And yet he refused to forgive this man this tiny little debt that he owed, even though the other servant begged him to be patient. This guy, the second servant, used the same words. He did exactly what the first servant had done before the king. He fell on his knees and begged him with the same words, "Just give me a little bit of time and I'll pay you back what I owe you." He owed him 3 months' wages. He could have paid him back. He could have got the debt settled. It was doable. But instead, and the truth is, the second servant could have said, "Look, I'm going to sell you into slavery, into indebtedness. Or you're in my debt. You'll come work it off." So he could have done anything else. But instead, he didn't say, "I'm going to sell your property in order to pay the debt." He said, "I'm going to have you thrown into debtor's prison where you'll work until you pay it off." If you've ever been in prison, then you're making 17 cents on the dollar or whatever it is. He could have worked and he could have paid it off in 6 months or 9 months. Instead, it's going to take him a few years to pay off that debt. It didn't even make sense. Nothing about it made sense. But he has him thrown into prison until the debt could be paid. An even more unmerciful fate. And when the other servants saw what happened, they went to their master and told what they had seen. And when the master heard the story, he called him back in and said, "You wicked servant, I canceled all that debt of yours because you begged me to. Shouldn't you have had mercy on your fellow servant just as I had on you?" In anger, his master turned him over to the jailers to be tortured until he should pay back all that he owed. Now, this man was turned over to the torturers. Another shocking word. But he's turned over to the torturers until he paid all he owed. That's the 200,000 years worth of wages. What it means is this guy was never going to be free from the torture of his own choice to refuse to show mercy. "I won't be merciful. I won't show forgiveness." And he's tortured. It's a powerful picture of those who refuse to forgive other people. Failure to forgive results in a tortured life. You hear me? Failure to forgive, to fail to release somebody from your own vengeance, leads to a tortured life. But what was going on with this guy? He'd been forgiven a massive debt. Then he refuses to forgive. And then on what should have been the best day of his life, 10,000 talents forgiven. It should have been the best day of his life. Instead, that becomes the first day of torture for the rest of his life. What was going on in this guy's heart and mind? And I got to tell you, somewhere between verse 26 and verse 27, it says, "The servant fell on his knees before him. 'Be patient with me,' he begged, 'and I'll pay back everything.' The servant's master took pity on him, canceled the debt, and let him go." Somewhere between those two verses, something got lost. It's like the servant flipped things around in his mind. I think he walked out of there and thought, all right, what just happened in there? Because I got to tell you, I wouldn't forgive a debt like that if I were the king. 10,000 talents. What, are you crazy? I'm not forgiving that. And the king's probably going to change his mind. So I'd better collect the debt that's owed to me. Besides, that was one thing. That was me. That was a different deal. Okay? I mean, I had a reason. I had a reason for being 10,000 talents in debt. But that little weenie friend of mine that owes me 100 denarii, he's got no excuse for this. Somehow that didn't apply to him. And besides, I think he's thinking, if everybody that owed me had just repaid me, I wouldn't have had to go through that horrible experience with the king to begin with. I'd have had my 10,000 talents because I would have collected all the debt. People owe me. And so he walked out expecting that somehow others were going to pay what were owed. I've tried to wrap my brain around it for the last few days. What was going on in his mind? So this guy looks to collect debt rather than share forgiveness. And that's when everything goes horribly wrong. You see, when we fail to accept and receive God's grace and forgiveness, then we will fail to extend that forgiveness and grace to others, and then everything will break down. The truth is that servant could have created a cycle of forgiveness and mercy and blessing that would have changed everything for himself and for his family. He could start all over again. He would have blessed that other servant by showing him mercy, and that guy would have gotten up off his knees and been a friend forever to that guy. And he might have gone to the next person and said, "Don't worry about your debt, because somebody just forgave me 100 denarii debt, and I want to pay it forward, and I want to bless you," and forgive. Forgiveness and blessing would have come to everyone, and instead he failed to accept the master's forgiveness, and he refused to show forgiveness to others. Rather than being thankful and looking for the opportunity to share God's mercy, the unmerciful servant's life motto becomes, "Pay back what you owe me. You owe me, and I want it paid." As a result, he loses the very things he hoped to gain, and spends the rest of his life tortured by his own bitterness and unforgiveness. His life is about taking and not giving. And friends, that's no way to live a life. Oh, I'll take the deal. Forgive me. But pay me what you owe me. That was his life. And what do you know? The unforgiven become the unforgiving. The ungraced become the ungracious. And let me tell you, that attitude of "you owe me" is a horrible way to live your life. It's what happens when we fail to realize that we've been forgiven, and we in turn withhold forgiveness from those who've hurt us. What I'm telling you, what I've come to tell you this morning, is to stop living like that wicked, unmerciful servant. Accept the forgiveness that Jesus offers, and then in turn, go and forgive. It's time, listen to what I'm telling you, and I'm not saying this is easy, but I'm telling you, it's time to stop blaming others. It's time to stop blaming everyone else. Release those folks who have hurt you and wounded you from their debt and from your vengeance. Why? Because your debt, that massive debt that you owed, that debt has been fully paid. God tore up the note against you at Calvary. Stop trying to tape the pieces back together and then go out still trying to collect debt so you can pay your debt. And it makes you angry and guilty and unforgiving and harsh, collecting from others what you think you're owed. And listen, let me say it again. Your massive debt was forgiven and canceled at Calvary. Why are you still collecting debts from others that you think owe you something? It's time to accept the glorious knowledge that we have been forgiven. The Bible says, "Freely we've received, now freely give." But we poison ourselves by withholding forgiveness. Let me say it one more time. Stop collecting debts and start loving and forgiving the way Christ loves and forgives you. So let me ask you in the last 5 minutes here, is there someone you need to forgive today? And it's always a challenge. And there's always somebody that says to me, "I don't know how to do it. I don't know how to forgive somebody. How do I do it?" Start by realizing the massive debt that God has forgiven you. Start by realizing that all the stuff you feel like somebody owed you, multiply that by 200,000 years of wages. That's what you owed him. And even that was not enough. And he forgave your debt. Start by realizing what God has forgiven in you. Start by realizing the mercy that He's shown to you. And that's the starting point to be able to look at the rest of the world and everybody else. Is there someone you need to forgive today? How about yourself? Can you accept the fact that Jesus has forgiven you? Can you forgive yourself in the light of Calvary and the fact that Jesus has forgiven you? And what about others? And so just take this little test with me and see if there's someone you need to forgive today. The resentment test. Is there someone you resent that you've never let them off the hook? Maybe it's a parent, mom or dad, a brother, a sister, a sweetheart, a spouse, a fiance, a friend, a coworker, a classmate. Somebody that wronged you a long time ago, wronged you in childhood, wronged you in high school, some teacher in school, someone that misused or abused you in the past. If there's resentment in your heart this morning and you know it's there, it's time to realize you've been forgiven and somebody showed you mercy in spite of who you were and all those things. It's time for you to release them from your vengeance. It's time for you to forgive. You don't have to keep collecting debts that are owed to you. Like the servant, if you're a follower of Christ, you've been forgiven. Freely show that forgiveness to those folk. Release them from that resentment. Show them mercy like He's shown to you. And what about the responsibility test? It kind of goes like this. If only my parents or my spouse or my children or if only God had given me what they owed me, well, I wouldn't be in this mess today. I wouldn't have all these problems, but this happened and this person did this. So let me ask you, do you take responsibility for your own faults and failures, or are you just saying, well, they made me what I am. He did this to me. She did this to me. It's their fault. My dad did this to me. My mom did this to me. It's the way they're responsible. It's their fault and I can't forgive them. David Siemens in his book, Healing for Damaged Emotions, a book written a long time ago. He says, many times extending forgiveness to someone else and assuming responsibility for yourself are two sides of the same coin. They're only done together. Let me say that again. Extending forgiveness to someone else and assuming responsibility for yourself are two sides of the same coin. Listen, you can't change the past. Stop trying to live there. All right. As much as you try, you're not going to change what happened. Stop reliving wounds of the past. Stop blaming circumstances and people in your past. Assume responsibility where it's appropriate. If it's not appropriate, then don't. But assume responsibility where it's appropriate. Accept God's forgiveness and then forgive and move on with your life. I'll say it for the 15th time. Stop trying to collect old debts. You've been forgiven. Let it go. Let it go. You know what? The place I see this the most is in marriage and divorce. And we have all this debt that somebody owes us. And you cheated and you weren't fair and you lied and you did this. And somebody walks away and it all falls apart. And then both parties decide, then I'm going to spend the rest of my life collecting the debt that you owe me. And I just, there are husband and wives both in the midst of that I just want to do what that other servant did. I want to choke them and say, just move on. Stop this. This is madness. You can't collect the debt. It'll never be paid. Both of you were a train wreck in this thing. Let it go! Turn loose of that woman. Stop trying to control her life. You're happy? Let her be happy. Leave your kids out of this. Stop. Oh, just... Maybe I'm talking to somebody this morning. Let it go! Let it go, for heaven's sake. Let it go! Let it go! God can heal and God can help you move on, but you're just digging a hole there, thinking you're making progress, but you're not moving forward. You're going deeper. You're going deeper. Stop shoveling, okay? Boy, that ought to have that on a banner somewhere. Stop shoveling and start walking. That's a little bonus sermon, all right. I feel better. I got that off my chest. Hoo-wee. The reminder and reaction test. Do you find yourself reacting against a person because he or she reminds you of somebody else? Maybe you don't like the way your husband disciplines the kids because it reminds you of the way your father disciplined and he overdid it, you know? You don't like your neighbor. You respond to a co-worker with anger and resentment. And the truth is, it's nothing they did. It's because you never really forgave somebody else. And that reminds you of something that's still boiling inside you. You've never really forgiven that person. And it triggers resentment. It's time to release them from your vengeance. Stop trying to collect old debts and accept God's gracious forgiveness. What do you do with all these debts and all these hurts from the past? And when I say all this, understand I'm not minimizing the wrongs or the wounds that were done to you. I've never seen such brokenness in the lives of people and the vengeance and just meanness that's happening in this world. I've never seen anything like it. I understand the pain was real, but do you understand that holding on to that debt and refusing to forgive will turn you over to torturers? You'll be tortured partly by your own choice. And that's why I'm urging you to let this go. But what do you do with all the debts and all the hurt? You wrap them up and you bring them all to the foot of the cross, this place of mercy and forgiveness and grace. And you ask Him for forgiveness and you say, Lord, I don't know how to forgive somebody that hurt me so deeply and that inflicted all this pain on me. But then you look up and realize, but I know my sins inflicted this pain on you. And so God, if you'll forgive me and you'll help me, I'll start trying to allow your forgiveness to flow through me. Flood me with your forgiveness. Flood your forgiveness and grace over the wounds and the bitter events of your life. Let His forgiveness change things. Let His forgiveness reach to the wounds that have been inflicted upon you and the wounds that have been inflicted by you. And understand this morning, God isn't offering you an extension. He's not giving you more time to try to earn His mercy, more time to try to repay the debt you owe, more time to collect old debts that you think you were owed. He offers you forgiveness. And then by His grace, He'll help you. He'll help you as you make His forgiveness your own and as you in turn begin to forgive others. In his commentary on Matthew, St. John Chrysostom, so many centuries ago, pointed out the terrible weight of our sin, the indebtedness beyond anything imaginable, and confronted with our sin, holding the letter of accusation, the letter of indebtedness in our hands, we stand before the Master, he says, and we're then reminded of His good deeds and the kindness that He's repeatedly shown to us. And I love this. Chrysostom wrote, "What then are God's good deeds? He created us from nothing. He made the whole visible world for us, the heaven, the sea, the earth, animals, plants, and seeds. I must be brief because of the infinite number of His works. Into us alone of all that are on earth, He breathed a living soul. He planted a garden for us. He gave us a helpmate and set us over all the brute species. And He crowned us with glory and honor. And yet after all this, when humanity turned out ungrateful toward its benefactor, He thought us worthy of an even greater gift, forgiveness." Forgiveness. Would you just say that word? Forgiveness. Forgiveness. You know what? For some of you, it's got a bitter taste in your mouth because when you say it, what you hear is, "You mean I'm going to say none of that mattered? You mean when I say forgiveness, I'm saying it didn't matter that you lied on me and cheated on me, that you broke my heart, that you stole my business, that you stole my idea, that you stole my life, you stole my innocence? You mean it doesn't matter?" No, it matters. It matters so much that Jesus died on a cross to deal with that kind of pain and that kind of sin. It matters so much. But you matter so much more than the wounds. He doesn't want you to live tortured by that. That's why He says, "I want to forgive your sins. And I want to enable you to forgive others so you can live under my mercy." So you can live under my mercy. That's what I'm telling you this morning. That's what, oh, it matters. It matters so much that Jesus left heaven to come here and die on a cross so we could be forgiven. Don't let forgiveness be a bitterness in your mouth. Let it be sweet to the taste. It's how I'm going to be delivered from torture. It's how I'm going to be delivered from this massive debt that I could never repay. It's by His forgiveness, and I'm going to choose to let it flow out. And in the process, listen to me, when you decide to be forgiven and to experience it from God, and then you begin to allow it to flow through you, instead of feeling like it's going to make you nothing, I'm telling you something, it's like forgiveness starts going through every pore of your being, and it cleanses you. The stuff that's been killing you, it's not what they did, it's what you're holding on to. I don't even know what I'm talking about this morning. I'm telling you, I just believe God's saying this to somebody. It's the stuff you're holding inside, it's poison and it's going to kill you. But once you let it go, wow, it's like I had no idea life could feel this good. I had no idea that health could come back to me. You may need to forgive God, you may need to forgive an old boyfriend, a girlfriend, you may need to forgive your baby's daddy or maybe your baby's mama. I don't know. I don't know what it is out there that you've been holding on to. Maybe it was an old wound. Maybe it's the pastor. Maybe it's another church. I don't know. It doesn't matter to me. I just know that there's a place of forgiveness that will restore wholeness in your life, in your future, and you won't have to be subject to the torturers, nor will you have to go hunting down people saying, pay me what you owe me. Instead, you can say, I release you from my debt. I release you from my debt because God has released me from mine and has given me wholeness and peace. Amen. Let's stand together this morning. Lord, I thank you for forgiveness, because I know how big my debt is. I tell you what, if you're here this morning, I want to end it this way. If you're here this morning and you need forgiveness, or you need to show forgiveness to somebody, I want you to just slip out and come and stand here at the front with me, because I want to pray for you. If you need forgiveness, or you need to forgive someone and you know it, it's a struggle. You've got somebody you need to forgive and it's a struggle for you. I want you just to slip out and come, let us pray together. You need forgiveness or you need to forgive somebody. Doesn't matter who it is. Nobody's judging you, because the truth is we probably all deal with it in some level or another. And you hear what I'm telling you again this morning. This isn't saying that you don't matter, or that what was done to you doesn't matter, because it matters. It matters. Trust me. You matter. You matter. And I'm not taking away in any sense saying that what happened to you was not the most unfair, unjust thing in the world, because that's exactly what it probably was. You know? What I'm telling you is that it's just time to move on, because you're not ever going to pay that guy back. You're not ever going to settle it. Some of us are mad at people that are dead and gone. We can't even get out there and dig them back up and yell at them. You can go out there and stand at the cemetery. You dirty, rotten thing. Look what you did to me. Who's wounded in that? It's just time. You got to let it go. You just got to. Because I'm telling you, there's healing that comes in that forgiveness. Oh, but the wounds were so much. Yeah, but he bore wounds so you wouldn't have to bear this any longer. And maybe it's God you're mad at. Maybe it's a parent. Maybe it's a kid. Maybe it's somebody that cheated in you. And you're just saying, pay me what you owe me. And I'm just telling you, that's no way to live. It's just time to say, you know what? I'm just going to embrace God's mercy and forgiveness. Just stretch your hands toward our friends that are here. And maybe if you want to come lay a hand on their shoulder, I think that'd be wonderful. Just to kind of stand with them today. Lord, it's time for forgiveness. It's time for forgiveness, Lord. There are folk that came this morning. They had no idea what the sermon was going to be. This isn't even their church. They just showed up because God had a divine appointment today. I believe that. God said, it's time for healing to come and restoration. And so we showed up today to be able to say, Lord, you've forgiven me. Now help me and show me how. Show me how, Lord, to turn loose and to forgive. Forgive those that have wounded me. Forgive those who lied on me. Forgive those who accused me unfairly and unjustly. Forgive those, Lord, who I just feel like if they had just if they would just have paid me what they owed me, it wouldn't have happened. But oh God, here we are, recognizing how vast our debt was, and you forgave us. And so, Lord, today we receive from your hand forgiveness. Let it flow in us and let it flow through us to liberate us and set us free, Lord, so that today we can say, you know what? I'm turning loose of this. I'm not going to carry this anymore. I won't allow this to torture me any longer. As painful as it was, as unfair as it was, oh God, I'm going to turn loose of it today. You'll have to show me how. You'll have to help me bear it, Lord, because it's just about more than I can do. But oh God, as surely as you've forgiven me, your grace at work in me will allow me to forgive others, Lord. You'll help me so that I can turn loose of this, because I'm not going to live my life trying to collect old debts. I'm not going to allow my life to become tortured because of somebody else's stupidity or their meanness. Oh God, that you'll liberate us today, that you'll forgive us, Lord, and that we'll be able to forgive others. You'll set us free, Lord. Those wounds went so deep. Oh, God, they inflicted such pain. But we look up at you, Lord, the prince in your hand and in your feet, the crown of thorns on your brow, where the smiters opened up your back, and we realized it was my sin that put you on that cross. And today, Lord, I receive your forgiveness for my sin. I understand, Lord. And as you forgive me, Lord, I'll walk from this place to forgive others. I'll let it flow through me, Lord, to forgive others. Oh, God, by your grace, Lord, you'll come, forgive me. By your grace, Lord, I receive that forgiveness. By your grace, Lord, I look out on my life and say, Lord, for all the wounds of the past, wounds I've inflicted and wounds that have been inflicted on me, oh, God, let forgiveness flow. Let your mercy so cleanse me, Lord, that all the debts are settled. That we declare it today, all the debts are settled, Lord. As surely as my sin and debt has been forgiven today, this is the day, Lord, that I release others from their debt. Let it be a moment of jubilee for us, Lord, that we release them all from our debt. My vengeance. Jesus, you said, the word says, vengeance is mine, saith the Lord. You're going to take care of it. The God who always acts justly will someday right every wrong. He'll call out every injustice. You'll settle every account. But until that day, Lord, we're going to rest it all in you. We're going to show mercy, because someday we'll stand in judgment. And those who have been unmerciful, they'll receive judgment without mercy. But those who have shown mercy, oh Lord, we'll stand under the covering of your merciful grace, and we'll not have to bear it. Our sins have been forgiven. Thank God for that today. Thank you, Lord, for release that comes to us today. As we release others, thank you, Lord. Freely you've given to us, and freely we give. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. I know this isn't easy. I know it's not easy. But by God's grace, you can do this. You will do this. And we'll release those folk, and we'll walk in freedom. Amen. Amen. Life groups tonight. We'll see you next Sunday, if not tonight.